Good morning and welcome to the West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship's virtual Sunday service. We are also affectionately known as WOOF. My name is Salima Malson. I use the pronouns she and her, and it is my joy and privilege to serve as your lay leader this morning. Whoever and wherever you are at this moment, we want you to know that you are welcome here. Whatever your age or your abilities, the color of your skin or where you were born, whomever you love, or how you identify your gender if you do, whatever your spiritual practices may be, or if you have none, and whether your heart is overflowing with gratitude and joy, or broken open with grief and pain, we are so grateful to be with you this morning, all of us local to this virtual community of conscience and compassion. I encourage you to check the announcements in your order of service to see what else is happening this week, and especially to join us for our virtual coffee hour at 11:30, when we will check in with each other, share our joys and sorrows, talk about today's service. If this is your first time with us and you don't have an order of service, but would like to join our coffee hour or know more about who we are and how we stay connected during this strange time of social distancing, don't hesitate to get in touch with our congregational administrator through our website, whuuf.org. Now, as I light the chalice, the Unitarian Universalist symbol of our shared and scattered faith, let us consider these words from an anonymous author. May we be reminded here of our highest aspirations and inspired to bring our gifts of love and service to the altar of humanity. May we know once again that we are not isolated beings, but connected in mystery and miracle to the universe, to this community, and to each other. Speak with me, please, our opening affirmation. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another. Our service this morning is titled Believing in the Power of Love and. It features stories of faith from Hannah Franco Isaacs, our Director of Religious Education, and Jack Harris Mandeville, one of WOOF's newest members. as well as music from John Bowling and our Woof Choristers, Karen Stratton, whom you just heard, and snippets from Stephanie Shapiro, Spencer Ehrman, Alyssa Joaquin, Rick Tangerman, John Bowling, and myself. So here we go. In a few minutes, we will share time for silent prayer, meditation, or reflection, as may be your tradition. After almost 400 years of celebrating the great American myth of the first Thanksgiving, there came in 1995 a presidential declaration that henceforth the month of November would be dedicated to honoring the original peoples of our country. Joy Harjo, a member of the Muscogee Nation, became the first Native American to be named Poet Laureate of the United States. This is her Eagle poem. To pray, you open your whole self to sky, to earth, to sun, to moon, to one whole voice that is you. And know there is more that you can't see, can't hear, can't know except in moments steadily growing and in languages that aren't always sound, but other circles of motion. Like Eagle that Sunday morning over Salt River, circled in blue sky, in wind, swept our hearts clean with sacred wings. We see you, see ourselves, and know that we must take the utmost care and kindness in all things. Breathe in, knowing we are made of all this, and breathe, knowing we are truly blessed because we were born. We were born and die soon within a true circle of motion, like Eagle rounding out the morning inside us. We pray that it will be done in beauty. In beauty.
The river is flowing, flowing and growing. The river is flowing down to the sea. Mother carry me, child, I will always be.
In an elevator. Post-pandemic, so it's safe to be in an elevator with other people. And have 60 seconds to explain Unitarian Universalism. What do you say? You could start with, well, we're a non-creedal faith. But then you'd likely have to explain what that means, and you'd run out of time. You could say, so we have these principles? The answer most often given, well, we can believe whatever we want as long as we treat people with respect. Here's the part where I, a religious professional and the daughter of two ministers, make a confession. That is what I told people growing up. And here's the hard part to admit. Sometimes still tell people when I'm out in the world and just don't feel like getting into it. How different would our faith be if all of us could describe it to people in a way that was exciting, authentic, and grounded in what we actually believe? Luckily, I'm not on my own in asking this question. The late Reverend Forrest Church writes, "Our views are shaped and changed by our experiences. As we grow, our faith grows. We struggle with what it means to be alive and yet have to die. We probe the depths of our own being for little hints of meaning. We create a faith by which we can live and struggle to live up to it. Throughout, each of us is fated to travel their own path. In the larger sense, we have chosen to journey together because we find that it is helpful. We find that it is good." I want to repeat this part. We create a faith by which we can live and struggle to live up to it. Being a Unitarian Universalist is hard work. Struggling to live up to our values can sometimes feel like an impossible task. In these days of deep division, how do we continue to see the inherent worth and dignity in each and every person, especially with those with whom we fundamentally disagree? Each day, we must be rooted in the belief that each of us is connected to and with the interdependent web of existence and a wider world community. This could look differently to each of us. There is no prescribed way of living a Unitarian Universalist life. In this congregation, people live out their values every day. Some people are taking their values to the streets, are involved in social justice activities. For others, it is about how and where they spend their money. For some of us, it is lived out by simply remaining open and curious about the world around us. We recently were able to have a small dedication for our son Levi. In this pandemic time, we weren't sure how we were going to have Levi dedicated. We weren't sure if it mattered to have this moment of ritual. Thinking about it more, I realized that Levi was born into a faith that allows for him to be blessed with the elements, to be blessed by generations of ancestors who have worked to bend the arc of the universe towards justice. I want him to be a part of that living tradition. I want him to grow up believing that his voice and his actions matter. I want Levi to have a deep understanding that Unitarian Universalists can't just believe whatever we want, but that we need to do the hard work of figuring it out. I want him to know how deeply his mama believes in community. Yes, we have come to that part you have been waiting for. You may be saying, "Hannah, you've asked more questions here than you've answered." Well, I am a UU after all. Here is what I believe. I believe in the power of community to shape people's lives. I believe when we are able to go deep with one another and really listen, it improves the world around us. I believe that allowing space for wonder in our lives can change the way we experience everything. I believe that our children are some of the greatest teachers we will ever have. I believe that in the words of Reverend Blake, love is the spirit of our church, service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. Blessed be and amen. Thank you.
believe in the power of possibilities. The possibility that every religious perspective is right, whether you are a Christian, a Unitarian, or an atheist.
I believe in the power of humor. Shakespeare wrote, "With mirth and laughter, let old wrinkles come." I want my wrinkles to have come from laughter.
I believe in the power of words, in the power to hurt and to heal. I learned in an early Bible class that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
As a therapist for over 30 years, I believe in the power of how our relationships and the conversations we have with people who care about us can help us recover, heal, and become the people we were born to be.
I do believe, oh, I do believe, oh, I do believe, oh, I believe in the power to live in the power of love.
I believe in the power of nature to teach us all we need to know about kindness and compassion, to restore our confused and troubled souls, and to give us a sense of belonging to this world that we all so desperately crave.
I believe in the power of friendship, its ability to open us up and remind us that we are not alone, that we are part of something bigger than ourselves, that we are human.
Conversation about believing without telling the central story of the central person in my life as a child. A black woman who was hired to take care of me in our home, Irene Scipio. Like many women of her time in the Deep South, she was hired to take care of white children in their homes. While she cooked, cleaned, and generally kept our household running smoothly, she also had the task of invoking deep care on a small, confused kid, mainly me. So what does her impact on my life have to do with what I believe? She imparted three important life lessons that I live by today. Number one, believe in the dirt underneath your feet. It can feed you, take you places, and remind you to remember where you came from. Believe in the dirt underneath your feet. It can feed you, take you places, and remind you to remember where you came from. I have a love and reverence for the earth and its seasons. The wheel of the year, as celebrated in pagan traditions, strongly resonates with me even as I continue to walk deeper and deeper into this practice. My parents were largely absent from my life. They were working all the time, and I was left with Irene and our petunias that we cared for daily, every spring. For me, the earth is truly my mother, and for that reason, I must give the highest reverence. Number two, love others as though they were part of your body. We are all connected. Love others as though they were part of your body. We are all connected. I have loved a lot of people in my life, and even moments when I find that difficult, I remember this edict. We live in a world where we are asked to pay attention to how we are different and separate and not what we have in common as one body of the human race. And so I come back to this, that I am part of everyone else and they are part of me. We are one body. Number 3, love your prayer life. Everything and everyone that has been and ever will be is listening to you. Love your prayer life. Everything and everyone that has been and ever will be is listening to you. I know as I renew all those years ago that we are not alone in prayer. I remember those moments when I had a scraped knee and she would rush over to a chair, grab her snuff, mix it with some water, and then rub it into the wound. She would get really close to the wound with her face and whisper a prayer in some unknown language. And in about a couple of days, the wound had almost completely healed. She was total magic to me. She was my first introduction to the earth-centered belief and practice. Listen, for me, as prayer is not some unseen daddy in the sky, but rather communication with all my ancestors and all my loved ones, and even the vast expanse of space. When I pray for good health, I know everything and everyone is listening, and I don't feel alone. Thank you for seeing me, Irene, wherever you are. Your life was not easy, and yet I hope that those lessons of earth, love, and prayer you imparted to me are seen by others in my life. Fittingly, I leave us with this poem about prayer from Mary Oliver. I think Irene would have loved the blue iris part. Rest in luxurious peace, Irene. Praying by Mary Oliver. It doesn't have to be the blue iris. It could be weeds in a vacant lot or a few small stones. Just pay attention to patch a few words together and don't try to make them elaborate. This isn't a contest, but the doorway into thanks and the silence in which another voice may speak.
Let us remember the love that built our community, love that built the fires that warm us and planted the trees that shade us. Let us especially remember and offer our gratitude to the indigenous tribes who stewarded our land long before we claimed it as ours, many of whom live among us today and to whom our doors are always open. As we extinguish the chalice, marking the end of our time together today, let us resolve to carry within us the warm glow of its flame and all that it stands for, as we make our way through the coming week and all that it brings. And may we meet again, the spirit of peace, love, compassion, and health.